Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise for tonight, Word Wednesday. We thank God for you, all those who have tuned in, all those that have called in throughout the night, even those that will listen to the recording at a later time, knowing the importance of prayer and Bible study and the Word. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide the word of truth. So I thank God that we are educating our minds. We are allowing ourselves to be equipped, edified, empowered, amen, strengthened in the word of God. Because he said his word will not come back void. I mean, it will not come back effective. It will not come back empty. But it will accomplish what he sent it to do. God's word, amen, will accomplish what he sent it to do. To God be the glory. So we're going to pray and get into the lesson tonight. We are fasting. We are praying. And I know in my own life, my own spirit, my own sense, I'm just sensing something. God is about to release something. God is about to do something in the life of his people. I've been saying it all during the fast. We're going to have something we've never had. We're going to see things we've never seen before. He's going to take us places we've never been before, and God is going to allow us to do things we've never done before. Glory be to God. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, power to prosper. That's my title for tonight, power to prosper, because we're going to see throughout the scripture tonight, God has given you and I ability, and he has given you and I gifts, talents, and abilities, and the, amen, the heart and desire to be prosperous. So we're going to pray. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to pray and get into the lesson. Father, we thank you tonight, and we give you praise for every caller, every listener, every member of New Creation Church, God. Let them sense and obtain and get their prosperity, God. It's not just materialistic stuff. It's not just the things of this world. But, God, we thank you for prosperity in every area of life. So you wish above all things that we prosper, be in good health, even as our souls prosper. So God, as we fast and as we pray, you are healing our body. You are doing the supernatural work on the inward man. Because you said you won't pour old wine into new wine. You won't pour new wine into old wineskins. So God, you are readying us that we won't forfeit the blessings. You are preparing us that we can maximize the prosperity that you want us to have. You want us not to just get blessed, but to maintain and keep the blessing. Glory be to God. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. As you open your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, just a foundational scripture. And we're going to see, go right into some scriptures that God expects you and I to prosper. As we heard the preacher word, yes, we got saved, because the Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Son of God, we will be saved. That's in Romans chapter number 10. So the preached word, salvation is the main thing. Glory be to God. Not only do we miss hell, not only is that not our destination any longer once we get saved, but Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In John chapter 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And where I am, meaning he's there already, we will be there also. So we will be with Jesus again. But right now, the Bible says to be apart from the body is to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. But he is there and we are here still living this thing called life. But he wants us to prosper. He wants us to be successful. That word prosper, I looked up the Webster definition. I looked up the definition of prosper, because sometimes we limit it to money, houses, cars, natural success. It does mean all of that, but it also means to thrive, to do well, to succeed, and to grow stronger. It means to flourish and to bloom or blossom. The Bible says flourish in a place where you are planted. The church that God has planted you in, you should graduate college. You should be successful in the marketplace. Your marriage should work. You should live a healthy and prosperous life. So prosperity also is wrapped up in peace. You know, God wants us to have peace in our lives. You shouldn't be a Christian and have trouble sleeping at night. You should not be a believer and still have things going on in your life. And maybe you're there. And our job is to get you to the place where God wants us to prosper and have peace in our lives. And, you know, before I got saved at age 30. I did have sleepless nights. I did try to do things to make my sorrows go away that was not just making things worse and not better. So he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. He wants to release a certain degree of power. Again, we're talking tonight about the power to prosper. God has given you and I the power to be successful in every area of life. And that's what we're looking at first in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 13. And then we want to look at two parables on showing you and showing myself that God does and do expect you and I to do something, amen, with this thing called salvation, with the gifts and talents and abilities that he has given us. But let's start here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter." He went from calling him Simon, now he's calling him Peter because of that revelation. "And upon this rock, I will build my church." Come on, somebody. The church is still around over 2,000 years later, and it's not like the devil has not tried to stop it, but he can't stop it. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the key," here it is, "of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven." I'm going to keep reading in the latter part of Matthew 16, but I want to put a pause there. I want to put a cliff note there. I want to put a comma there, because we don't want to move past binding and loosing. Through this revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God, he said, "Now I give you authority, I give you power, I give you ability, supernatural ability, that when you pray, what you bind on this earth is going to come into agreement in heaven, and we're going to bind it up in heaven." So the things that we handcuff, the things that we render are powerless against our lives, heaven, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and God the Father come into agreement with us. And what we bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. So when you bind that enemy off of your family, you bind the devil up off of your circumstance, you bind the demons and the haters and those that's coming against you, you bind them up, you wrap them up, you render them powerless against you in all you're trying to do for your life and for your family and for your future. That's why we got to open up our mouths sometimes and just say, "If God be for me, who can be against me?" We got to open up our mouths and say, "I'm more than a conqueror through Christ." We got to open up our mouths and declare and decree over our own lives. Look in the mirror in your private time. You ain't crazy. Just put it into the atmosphere. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Because he said what? His word won't come back void. We can try to put mind over matter. We can try to have positive thinking. We can try to will it and will ourselves to success. But no, his word is greater than our ability. Glory be to God. I said the word of God is greater than our own ability. That's why so many people, and we see it even with Christians, they have worldly success, but as far as their spirit, as far as their personal lives, it's a train wreck. And then there are some people that are living holy, that they're living right. They're going to church. They're not struggling with sin, but yet they're struggling to pay their bills. They're struggling to keep a relationship. They're struggling, glory be to God, in the natural thing. But God wants us to have a win-win. He wants us to live holy and to be happy. God wants us to have a balanced life. And we're headed in the right direction. As we fast and as we pray, as we seek the face of God, we're asking for direction. We're asking for clarity. We're asking for instruction. He said, if you lack wisdom, go to God and ask God. God, I want a significant other. God, I've been waiting on the right man. I'm waiting on the right woman. God, why can't I keep a job? God, why do I not still have my own apartment? Lord, why am I still struggling in this certain area? The Bible says, go to God. Ask him for wisdom. And the Bible says, God will give you wisdom. But he said, watch this, people of God. He said, but don't be double-minded. Don't doubt when God released that wisdom to you. Don't doubt that you got it. Because he makes us smarter. He makes us intelligent. But we can't let the devil now come into our mindset and send up a thought, oh, you still the same person. You still got those bills. You still have overwhelming loneliness. You still feel alone. You still feel filled with low self-esteem. No, you got to say, no, God already gave me wisdom. I'm working on how to get out of this debt. I'm working on how to be a better person. I'm working on how to live holy. I'm at work. So that's why we got to talk about the power to prosper. We got to talk about it and be about it, because he said, I give you the keys. He already gave us the keys to success. Glory be to God. Even as I said that, glory be to God, I hear somebody shaking keys. I hear somebody about to get a key to a new automobile, a key to their new apartment, a key to open up their new business, a key to their church building, a key, glory be to God, to go back to school, go back to college. A key to re-enroll into that certification. God has already given you the key, a key to a happy relationship, a key to better and good health. God has already given you the key to be successful. Amen. You know, I was in Hoboken today, and I was at work, and it blew my mind because, you know, sometimes I see things, but this thing really got to me. I was in I'm a courier at FedEx. And I was delivering to this cafe, next door to the cafe, which is a dental office in a boutique. And a lady came out with her friend, looked like it was her friend, maybe a family member, but she was on crutches. And then I noticed she only had one leg. She had one leg, she was on crutches, and her other leg was amputated all the way to the hip. Now this lady, you know, I don't know her, I did not talk to her. But just looking at her, she obviously had great arm strength because she was walking down. It was a crowded boulevard. She was walking down the street with her friend. They were talking. They just had lunch at the cafe. They were laughing. They were giggling. And she was just living life, and she was walking. Now, I'm doing stops on Washington Boulevard, 12th Street, 11th Street, 10th Street. And as I'm doing my stop, this lady is coming down Washington Boulevard with her friend, and she's just like everybody else on the boulevard. Now, I don't know if she got stares. I don't know if people looked at her. I don't know if she felt uncomfortable or not. But in my opinion, not only was she strong mentally and physically, she was strong emotionally just by observing her. She was just fitting in with main culture, although she had one leg. It blew my mind. It blew my mind how some people can just go on and keep on living in spite of life sometimes being unfair. And there are many of us sometimes, you know, we got two legs, we got two arms, we got our right mind. And sometimes God is saying to us, those of us who live by faith, yes, I'm expecting more because you can do more, you can be more. Because God always blesses us to be a blessing to somebody else. I thank God that Pastor Rebecca and I have said yes to the Lord. And you know, sometimes we look up and we say, God, thank you for using us. God, thank you for allowing us to pastor your people. God, thank you for allowing us to share some of our money that we work for to help keep the doors of your church open, to be a blessing to somebody else, to feed our families on Sunday, to help somebody who is in need. God, thank you for the ability to share the blessings with others. And even as I watched this lady, again, I finally finished doing my stops on 9th Street, and it took about 5 minutes. And I tell you, this lady went waltzing on right by me. And I said, my God, God bless her in a mighty way. Because she was just going on, again, just going on and living. And sometimes we see people, although they had adversity, although they had trouble, they still are advancing in life. How much more us believers who have God, who have the Holy Spirit, who have the Lord on our side, should we prosper? And keep reading in Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, my God, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? God don't want us to go after the things of this world. We're going to see that in the next scripture that I read. Yes, he wants us to have money. He wants us to own land and houses. He wants our investments to work. He wants us to be on jobs that are prospering us. He wants us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. He really does want us to be the first and not the last. This is what God wants from us. But when I'm talking about he gives us the power to prosper, I'm talking about in the natural and in the supernatural. He don't want us to be great in the world and horrible in the church, great in the church and horrible in the world. God wants us to be successful in every area of life. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. This is blessing me. Glory be to God. I hope it's blessing you. Look at Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. This is a parable. Jesus began to speak to his disciples in parables. He did not share this with the mainstream world. The disciples were privy. They had special privileges because they belonged to Jesus. And he began to teach them in parables. That's what we spoke when we looked at the beginning. We talked about New Year's resolution, and I talked about Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain and tell it to be moved, it will be cast into the sea. If you believe and if you don't doubt, and we are speaking to our mountains today, hallelujah, to God be the glory. We are speaking to our mountains today. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart, whatsoever things you pray for, if you desire and you pray for it, believe that you receive, and he said, you shall have it. And he said, when you pray, forgive. Amen. So we got to have our hearts pure. We can't have a bitter heart. We can't have a hardened heart, because the devil wants us to harden our hearts. You know, that's what Peter did when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan decides to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail.
And Peter went on boastful and bragging, Jesus, I'm willing to go to prison with you. I'm willing to throw down and fight with you. I'm even willing to die for you, Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, before the rooster crows three times today, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, oh, no, not me. But guess what? God had to humble Peter. Because the enemy would throw something at us, church, people of God. The enemy would do something. This is why we need God. Life can sometimes be so hard and so unfair that the enemy can drum up something. The enemy can come up with something that will try to make us lose our salvation. And that's why Peter, I'm glad that story about Peter denying Christ is in the Bible. Because there go I, but by the grace of God. Come on, somebody. We can never say, you know, I truly understand. I understand why people say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall into that sin. I'm not going to leave God ever. Yes, make that declaration. But make it knowing that with Christ you can do all things. Amen. Peter was trying to tell, listen to this. Peter was trying to tell Jesus that he's not going to deny him and Satan's not going to sift him as wheat. So Jesus had to humble Peter. But in the end of the story, come on, somebody. Peter got his salvation back. Peter spoke and 3,000 people got saved. Peter became a great martyr for the church of the living God. Let's look at Mark chapter number 4. Look at Mark chapter number 4. I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time because there's some scriptures I'm going to look at. But Mark chapter number 4, verse number 14. We're talking tonight about the power to prosper. God has given you and I the power to be successful, the power to be victorious. I feel God. During this time of praying and fasting, you made some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. And God said you're going to lose the weight that you set for yourself to lose. I'm going to be successful and get a great job this year. I'm going to close on my home this year. Whatever your resolution is, wherever that dream is, God says to you tonight, through the man of God, it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. Look at Mark chapter number 4, verse number 14. The sower sows the word. That right there tells you and I, the preached word that got us saved is not just for salvation. As we keep reading, we're going to see that God expects us to prosper. As we keep reading, this parable here, although it's a parable, he's really talking about the heart of a man or a woman. This seed that was sown is sown into the heart. You know, we got to have the right heart. Once that preacher is preaching that word, once that preacher is prophesying that word, once that preacher is proclaiming that word, when we're sitting and we're listening, we got to have the right heart. That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, with our cell phones and the distractions of our day, sometimes if we're not paying attention in church and we're being distracted by people, sometimes we don't have great interest in what the preacher is preaching and saying. You know, we get distracted by somebody who did not go to church and they want to text us while we're in church. And that little distraction can throw you off, maybe a key part of the message that God tailor-made for you that would get you to just move with determination, that would get you to move with fearlessness and be resilient as you pursue your goals and dreams. But somebody else who don't have the same kind of determination, amen, and that distraction can come and try to pull you away from your moment. And that's what we're about to see in these next three verses on the different hearts and the different scenarios that can happen to us if we allow the enemy to have his way. But we're not going to allow the enemy to have his way. Amen. Because when I first got saved, so many people tried to pull me back into the world that I was trying to pull away from. You know, Aunt, we're going back to the bar. Aunt, we're going back to the club. No, I'm going to church. I'm trying to do something new. And 25 years later, I'm still on the Lord's side. Oh, Kerabo Shakaraba. Hey, Karaba Akele Ekobo. Glory be to God. It's not like I did not get the invitation to go back to my former way of living, but I kept saying yes to God, and I'm still saying yes to God. Because the enemy going to try to, once God gets you free, the enemy is going to try to get you in a low moment, in a low place. When you're at a low place in life, he's going to try to come and get you at a low place. The Bible said he left Jesus for a season. It's not like he didn't try to come back. Verse number 15. And these, he's going to explain the first 12 verses of what he's talking about, what he's talking about. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard the word, Satan, the devil, comes immediately, the Bible says. He don't wait. He comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Wow. Wow. That's the person you invited to church who sometimes don't make their way back, even though they said to you, I'm coming back next week. Because the enemy sometimes comes right away, and he snatches that word. I'm not going to get into how he snatches it away. Like I already told you, people invited me back to the bar. They invited me back to the club. That's sometimes how they can immediately take the word that you heard. I had a friend named Sharon who invited me to her church, and as I heard the preach word, I said, you know, I'm going to come back to this church next week, because I started visiting churches. I told my mother, I'm going to church. And she told, I'll never forget her words, because I was sleeping on her floor at the time. I did not have my own place, and I was sleeping on her floor because she had a one-bedroom apartment. And she said, you're welcome to sleep on my floor. She gave me a blanket and a pillow, but that floor was hard, somebody. Glory to God. That was not a mattress. That floor was hard. And she said, I told her one Sunday, I'm going to church, Ma. And she said, God can help you. I never forget her words. God can help you. Because God knows I needed help in that season of my life. And he did help me. Look at verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Again, we're talking about the heart. You know, we're exegeting the scriptures. We're looking at what Jesus meant by this parable. Some people have a stony heart. They have a hardened heart. That's what I was talking about, Peter. But that sometimes that hardened heart looks like unforgiveness. When you have not forgiven certain people, that thing has a way of hardening your heart. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But now he's going to explain it. They, like that first person, they received it with gladness, because the first person also was happy who heard the word. Verse number 17, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In other words, as a believer, when God sows this word into your life, people like, Pastor Anthony, I've been going through so much warfare. I've been in so many storms. I've been under so many attacks. That's what Jesus is saying right here. It said, for the word's sake, now things rise up in our life, and we feel this opposition. We feel this negativity. We feel this spiritual warfare that we can't see in the natural coming against us. And it says people get offended. They get offended by this, that my life was so much better when I wasn't going to church. People begin to make statements like that. When I wasn't saved, it seemed like life was so much easier. And he says, that's what he's saying right here, is that people back up sometimes because of the warfare. And I'm not going to get into it because I need to move on, but we got to know that we get the victory with God on our side. No weapon against us will prosper. Amen, somebody. No weapon against you can defeat you. Verse number 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as they hear the word, and the cares of this world, that's what we're talking about, He was just saying in the scripture we opened with tonight, why gain the whole world and lose your soul? And the deceitfulness of riches, that's what that scripture means, the deceitfulness of riches, meaning I got to have money to pay my bills. I got to make more money. I got to have more money to be happy. No, the devil is a liar. And the lust of other things enter in. And guess what it does, people of God? It chokes the word. And it becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. It chokes the word that that person is living among thorns. The cares of this world. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to get out of this debt? We got to go to God in prayer. God will show you. God will help you. God will give you wisdom. He will give you discernment. God will give you supernatural ability to sustain you, and you will sustain at this thing called life. Now, here's the part that I wanted to get to, the part what I'm talking about tonight, the power to prosper. Verse number 20, when I say God expects you and I to prosper, and these are they which are sown on good ground. That means a good-hearted person, a kind-hearted person. That's why, you know, when I look at my daughter Kayla sometimes, my wife wanted to name her Joy, her middle name Joy. And I said, that's a nice name, babe. And she lives it out. If you know my daughter Kayla, she's a joyful, nice person. She just has a great demeanor. She has a great character. She's really kind of a happy person. Some people are negative. They never smile. They never laugh. But her middle name is Joy. And ever since a little girl, she's just been, you know, we've seen it in her life, and we still see it on her today. She has joy in her heart. And a lot of people, they need joy in their heart. They need the happiness. They need to smile. They need to enjoy life more. And sometimes life has been so unfair to some of us that, like, Pastor Anthony, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what kind of life I have lived. And I'm not making light of your situation, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's all I'm going to say to you tonight. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it said, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and they receive it, and listen to what they do. The ones that they go through all those first three just like everybody else, but they have the right kind of heart. They now produce 30, 60, 100 fold. My God. My God. I'm so trying to fight myself not to preach tonight. But that thing's about to make me want to preach to y'all the rest of these minutes I have. Because somebody's going to prosper this year. I don't know if you're going to produce 30%. I don't know if you're going to produce 60%. But some of y'all may produce 100%. I don't know who God is talking to tonight, but you will prosper. Oh, glory be to God. I said, as you pursue your dream, as you are determined for your destiny, as you move forward by faith, God is going to make your plans work. I love it. You know, some of our members at New Creation, they will graduate college this year. And if you've ever been to college, you know that is not an easy task. That is not an easy thing. And we are so proud of them. Amen. But, you know, all things are possible for those of us who believe. Go to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. We have talents, we have skills, we have abilities that God has given us. The Bible says he has given us, amen, the ability to get wealth. God has given you the ability to get wealth. But here's a story, another parable. Jesus, I told you he was talking in parables to his disciples. But here's another great parable, Matthew 25, verse number 15, to show you and I that he does, and he do expect you and I to prosper. I love my wife, Pastor Rebecca. It took a lot of faith to leave the marketplace. She has always worked. If y'all know her testimony, she went from welfare to Wall Street. But she tells the testimony, she was in a welfare office one day, and she just said, you know, God gave her a thought. You know, you're better than me. And she tell her caseworker, I want a job. I want to work. I don't want to be on welfare anymore. And she eventually went to Wall Street. She worked hard, and she got herself together, and she began to triple and just in three times what her salary, what she was getting on welfare, she began to make money and get more money and make more money because she had an epiphany. She had a revelation that I'm better than this. And that's what God is saying. Sometimes we have talents, gifts, and ability because she has always been smart in school and everything. But she, you know, sometimes life happens to all of us. Glory be to God. But that's what he's saying right here in Matthew chapter 25, talents. I'm so glad they used the word talent. You know, there's a TV show, America Has Talent. And if you, I love, that's one of my favorite shows because, I mean, the things that people can do. They're doing somersaults in the air. They're on the trampoline. The magicians, the singers, the people that can do so many great things with their bodies and their ability to sing and play instruments. America does have talent, but that's not the talent he's talking about here. But your talent, your treasure, your time does belong to God. I'm going to say that one more time. Your talent, meaning your gifting, your abilities, your skills, your time. Yes, God, he gives you time to do other things, but, you know, he want to see you at Bible study. He want to see you in church. He want to see you at prayer. He want to see you in his word at your table, at your house. He want you to pray to him in your prayer closet. So he wants you to spend time with him. And God expects that from him. And your treasure. He wants us to share some of our money with him so we can advance his kingdom. He says in Deuteronomy, I give you the ability to get wealth. I've given you the ability to make money to establish my covenant. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 15. Let's start at verse number, 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, watch this, people of God, according to his several ability. I love the King James language right here. See, every translation doesn't put it this way. But when you look at the King James language, they make it plain. He gave them according to their, watch how God worded, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. You know, in the days of Moses, people were hating on Moses, Zora and Kabaya, and people just hated because Moses was the leader. Moses was leading millions of people out of bondage, out of Egypt, through the wilderness into the promised land. Because Moses had such gifting. He had such a capacity even to go and talk to Pharaoh, who thought he was a god. Moses was a man like you and I, and he was just a regular human being, but Moses had a different capacity on him. He had a different ability on him, just like the Apostle Paul. We can't get jealous or envious or try to compete with the T.D. Jakes and the Joe Osteens and the Joyce Myers of our day, with the Billy Grahams and those who lead thousands and millions of people. God has gifted them in another way. But God says to you and I have given you the ability to do what you can do. So God wants us to maximize what he has given us. That's why you can't look at the mega church, or you can't look at the millionaire. You can't look at the people with 5 degrees and say, I'm going to have 5 degrees. Maybe you're just going to have 1 college degree. Maybe you're going to have 2. You can't envy the person that got 6 degrees in a doctorate. You got to understand God has given all of us different abilities. Amen. And they're going to keep reading. Oh, my God, I can teach on this all night. But we're going to keep moving. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and he made 5 more talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained 2 more. Look at verse number 18. Remember my lesson tonight. Remember the title, Power to Prosper. This gentleman right here didn't have this mindset. But he that had received 1 went He dig a hole in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He hid it. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and he reckoned with them. Wow. My God. The Bible says the one with the 5 talents, again, remember, he gave them according to their ability. This is how the guy that got 5 could double it. He had the ability to double it. The one that had 2, he also had the ability to double it, and he gained 2 more. He gave him 2, he ended up with 4. So what are you saying, Pastor Anthony? I'm saying the one that had the 1 talent, he was supposed to at least make it double. When Jesus came back, or the Lord came back, he should have gave him at least 2. He should have doubled it just like the other 2. But he hid it. And in this season, God don't want you to hide your talents, your gifts, and your ability. Enough of being obscurity. You know, enough obscurity. It's enough being behind the processional. It's enough of the real. I mean, the real. You know, the Bible says the earth groans for the real sons and daughters to present themselves. You got so many people in the front of the room, so many people making a lot of noise, so many people, they live in foul, but they making a lot of noise. And God is saying, will the real sons and daughters that really know me, will they rise up and be seen in this season? You know, that's who he went to sing in the church. That's who he went to preach. Those are the ones, you know, you may not be the, that's why he led me here tonight to talk about this. You may not be the best singer. You may not be the best preacher. You may not be the best one in your workplace, but he just wants you to be the best you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He wants you to be the best you can be. That's what God expects from us. Glory be to God. I need to keep on moving. I need to keep on moving. But listen, people of God, Matthew 25 says, don't hide. Remember Adam hid because he sinned. God don't want you to hide. You know, sometimes we don't want to, you know, we run with a certain circle. I don't want them to think, you know, that I'm all that. You know, Steve Harvey, I just love. Steve ain't perfect. Some people were, you know, Steve, he don't even go to church. He's going to try to tell me how to be a Christian. Listen, Steve Harvey, he may not go to church, but from what I see and the way he talk, I listen to his morning show 15 minutes every day. He talks about Jesus every single day for 12 to 15 minutes. He talks about Jesus. He talks about church. He talks about God. He talks about prayer. He's a comedian. Yes, they have a secular radio show. But for 12 minutes, he said, God gave me this blessing. Can I not give God 12 to 15 minutes of my 4-hour show? And he tells the story. He said when he went back around his block, people say, yeah, Steve, you trying to get all new on us. You know, Steve think he all that. And sometimes if we're in a certain circle and you're trying to break free and be all you can be, and some people just satisfied being okay. They satisfied with mediocrity. They're satisfied just being, you know, barely getting by. And if you are afraid and you want to hide your talent, your desire, and your ambition to make others feel okay about themselves, God said, no, you need to maybe pick a new clique, a new crowd. You know, pick somebody who got something that you're trying to achieve and something that you're trying to aspire to. I love the fact that our apostle came into town, and, you know, it's not to boast or to brag, but they really do have a beautiful edifice down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And we have seen him go from a commercial property to a Glendale property with a nice-sized church to even a bigger church. And it's not about materialistic stuff. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But the point I am trying to make is that some people are prospering. There are some pastors. There are some churches. There are some people that are thriving. And we can't look at another man's vineyard and say, I wish that was me. No, God is saying you have the same ability. You have the same opportunities. You have the same open door that others have. And I'm expecting you to prosper just like you see other people who are prospering. Amen. very quickly, Galatians chapter 5, because I'm running out of time, but I need to get to these two at least, because we're fasting and praying, and I want us to see that when we fast and pray, these things are important to God. The next two scriptures that I'm going to look at is not about money, it's not about houses, it's not about church buildings, but these are personal characteristics. These are invisible things that no man can measure but God. The first one, they call it the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. As we fast and as we pray, these are the things that are concerning to God. He wants us to be a better person. He wants us to become better people. If we've had an anger problem, if we've had a low self-esteem problem, if we had an unforgiving problem, if we had a sin nature and we had strongholds and familiar spirits, if we had a certain meanness, if we had a certain demeanor that was not pleasing to God, that's why we have this list right here called the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you read the verses before this, it outlines the characteristics of the world: idolatry, witchcraft, pride, arrogance, and things of that nature, ego. But verse number 22, Galatians 5, verse number 22, then he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. God knows we need that. Joy. God knows we need that. Peace. God knows we need that. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said when we build these characteristics in our life, it's going to be hard to be a defeated person. And they that are Christ, watch what he says, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another to envying one another. Vainglory is that, you know, my house is better than your house. My car is nicer than your car. You know, I'm your boss. You're just an employee. You work for me. You know, that's the vainglory he's talking about. People who get a position in life, they're a manager, they're a supervisor, and they're trying to make your life on the job a living hell. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You ain't got to fight back. You don't have to get in the flesh. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Me and Pastor Rebecca have seen this. We've been in the marketplace. We have been in the marketplace for a long time. I've been working since I was 13 years old. I'm now 56. So I've been a worker for a long time. And I've seen God when people came against me, people tried to get me fired, people tried to harass me on the job. They're no longer there, and I'm still there. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hold your peace. Let the Lord fight your battles. The fruit of the Spirit. Even as we get off the line, get you a highlighter tonight and highlight Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 to the end. You know, I need to go over to 2 Peter, and we might close out there because I see time is getting away from me. But since we're in Galatians, we might as well read chapter 6. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, because it keeps staring me in the face, and it's like, hello, Pastor, I'm right here. Glory be to God. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 6 as we leave Galatians chapter 5, because this is one of my favorite texts in the Bible, Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, unless you also be tempted. Verse number 2 says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you got a girlfriend going through,
And sometimes she just needs a listening ear. Glory be to God. She just needs somebody to talk to. You got a friend, a male friend going through. He just needs somebody to talk to. Sometimes people don't need us to fix it. They just need us to vent. They just need us to listen. Hallelujah. He says, bear one another burdens. If you see somebody fall, how could they be so powerful and fall into a certain sin? How could they have a mega church? How could they be a Christian for 60 years and fall into that? No, the Bible says, you who are spiritual, pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Amen. Verse number 3, for if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's the person who was mega. They thought they were all that. That's why they fell. That's the person who got arrogant and thought it was them keeping themselves. That's how they fell. It's always God who is keeping us. So when you see people fall into the flesh, pray for them. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I'm going to get to verse 7, jump on down to verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that will he also reap. For if he sow to his flesh, that's the person that just fell in verse number 1, he kept feeding his ego, and he fell. Shall of his flesh reap corruption. But if he sow to the Spirit, that's what you're doing tonight. That's why you came to Word Wednesday. You're feeding your spirit. You're building your spirit. You're fortifying your spirit. You're helping your spirit. Shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. He says when you do this, what you're doing tonight is going to last throughout your lifetime. Come on, somebody. What you're doing tonight is going to help you not cuss somebody out. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know you want to cuss them out, but you're not going to cuss them out because you're in the Spirit now. Hallelujah. You no longer have to curse at people because you're walking in the Spirit. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that's what we've been talking about all during the fast. It is due season. It is due season. Come on, somebody. When my wife was carrying Kayla, the doctor told her due date, told me her due date. So when that due date came, me and my wife was looking. We said, oh, God, the time is coming for you to deliver this baby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And her stomach was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They gave her a baby shower at Merrill Lynch, and that due date was approaching. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says in due season, can't nothing stop it. Just like that baby was coming out, Kayla came out. They said it's a girl. I wanted a girl. I began to shout hallelujah in the doctor room in Mountainside Hospital. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It was due date, due season, and that's what God is saying to somebody. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Who is God talking to right there? You didn't faint in 2019. You are still here, and God is about to prosper you. You didn't give up in 2019. You did not quit in 2019. You did not throw in the towel in 2019. You did not stop in 2019. And now that you made it over into a new year, you're about to reap. You are about to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Amen. 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 2 Peter, we're going to close here. 2 Peter. I pray this is helping somebody tonight. You're like, Pastor Anthony, I know I'm going to prosper. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to grow. I'm going to go. I'm going to progress. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get more successful. That's what somebody is saying, even as we talk about this lesson tonight, the power to prosper. God has given you power to prosper, people of God. In this final scripture, again, these are godly characteristics. And I might just have time to read it. I may not expound on it. I may not try to exegete it, because the scripture really speaks for itself. I remember my wife, Pastor Becca, preached from this text. I think it was toward the end of the year. She preached from this. She preached at a church in Elizabeth, and this is one of the scriptures she preached from. And, man, God used it at night. My God, I still remember that word. And she blessed the people of God in a mighty way. It was not a ton of people there, but, man, did she preach like the house was full. Hallelujah. And in 2 Peter, she used this scripture right here. It was a blessing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. She talked about that. God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. God. The Bible says, add to your faith virtue. We're talking about godly characteristics. We're talking about the things that money can't measure and money can't buy. We're talking about the invisible part of us. He said, now that you're a person of faith, add to your faith virtue. And I looked up the definition of virtue. It says one of the definitions of virtue is this: behavior showing high moral standards. I'm going to read that again. The word virtue, the meaning, the definition of virtue is one of the meanings, one of the definitions, behavior showing high moral standard. Amen, somebody. And to your virtue, knowledge. That's what you're doing tonight. You're gaining knowledge. You're gaining Bible knowledge. And to your knowledge, temperance. The ability to control yourself. That's self-control. Temperance means self-control. And to your temperance, patience. The ability to wait. Sometimes we got to wait on better days. We got to wait for God to bless us. We got to wait for that kairos, that moment that God said is going to happen, that's when it's going to happen. Sometimes not when we want it to happen, but when God wants it to happen. So patience is so important. And to patience, godliness. That goes without saying. Men, in a world like this, we should still be the light of the world and salt of the earth. They should see the God in you. Come on, Mary. It's the God in me. Ooh, ooh. It's the God in me. Ooh, ooh. You think I'm so fresh. You think I'm so. It's the God in me. Glory be to God. It's the God in you. Hallelujah. Verse number 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. God knows we need a lot of that. You know, I love that. Part of New Creation Church. There's a love. There's a chemistry there. We greet each other with kindness and consideration and concern with one another. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And brotherly kindness, charity, or love. Amen. So love is so important in the name of Jesus. I thank God for you tonight who called in. I pray that this blessed you tonight. As we fast and as we pray, God has given us the ability to prosper. Amen. So if he's telling you to go back to college, if he's telling you to get certification, if he's telling you, you know, to read a book, you know, sometimes the Bible, not the Bible, people say readers are leaders. And, you know, when Kayla was young, Pastor Rebecca used to always read her books. And now, even today, she has a love for books. She has a love for reading. She just reads. She's a fast, you know, eloquent reader. And that all started when she was a baby in a rocking chair. Her mother, she was a baby. Her mother used to read to her. And, you know, Kayla had a teacher in elementary school that used to encourage them to read. And she used to get them piece of her coupons and certificates. And she used to encourage her class to read. And now as Kayla become a teacher, I know she's going to encourage her students to read because readers are leaders. Even if you don't want to be a leader, when you read, I never was a reader. But guess what? God allowed me to have a girlfriend, now my wife, Rebecca, who always was a reader. Her family said they'd be at a cookout or something, and Pastor Rebecca be somewhere reading a book. All the kids be having fun, and she'll be somewhere reading a book. Now I also have a love affair to read. So, you know, find yourself, maybe that should be an ambition or a goal that you set for this year. You know, I'm going to read more books this year. I want to become an avid reader. Amen. To God be the glory. Well, we thank God for you. If you're not in this New Jersey area, please sow a seed into the ministry. We have a Cash App, NCCM Cash. Am I saying it right, Pastor? Yeah. What is a Cash App? To God be the glory. Our Cash App is NCCM Church. The word church, C-H-U-R-C-H. NCCM Church. And we get those monies right away. It goes right into the ministry. And those of you who want to go to the online, nccmonline.org, and we also have a P.O. box, you can look for that information. But if you're in this New Jersey area, we expect to see you in church. We're starting 12:30 on Sunday. And press your way to the house of God. To God be the glory. We're going to have a great service on Sunday. Happy birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to Deacon Carmen Kahlo. She is so faithful to her church and her pastors. We love Deacon Carmen Kahlo. And I pray she is having a blessed birthday. Amen. She is a blessing to her family, to the church. And she deserves a great birthday. Happy birthday, Deacon Carmen. We love you in Jesus' name. And again, it's Dr. Martin Luther King weekend. We must always honor Dr. King because he did so much for this country. He did so much for our lives, not just black people, not just people of color, but for black, white, brown. He did so much for the world. That's why he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He won the Nobel Peace Prize because he did so much for the world, not just for people of color. And we celebrate him this weekend. His birthday, his actual birthday is today. I got a sister, Darlene. I called her and wished her a happy birthday today. My sister, Darlene, is 58 years old today. I love her so much. That's my only living sister. I had three sisters. She's the only living one. And her birthday is today. I reached out to her. Happy birthday, Darlene. I love you. That's my older sister. And I thank God for her. She also shares a birthday with Deacon Carmen and Dr. Martin Luther King. And my niece, Doris Johnson, also. Happy birthday, Doris. That's my niece, January 15th. How do I remember these days? Glory be to God. Well, we thank God for you. See you in church on Sunday, 12:30. Bring somebody to church with you. We've been having a high time, and we're fasting and praying, and God is doing something at New Creation Church. Our apostle preached last Sunday, but this week is going to be Pastor Rebecca or myself preaching, and there's a word from the Lord for you. God bless you. We love you. God bless. Good night.